Our focus scripture this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 33 through 37. And this is where the disciples argue over greatness. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, Jesus asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." The word of God for the people of God.
The Little League baseball game was in the sixth inning. The coach said one of his young players, "Do you understand what cooperation is?" And the player, Little League player, looks up at him and says, "Yes, coach, yes, I understand." So the coach continued, "Do you understand that what matters is that we play together as a team?" The little player looks up at him and says, "Yes, yes, coach, I understand." So the coach continued, "When a strike is called a strike by the umpire, it is a strike. When you are out at first, you are out. Do not argue or curse the umpire. Do you understand all that?" And the little player's saying, "Yes, coach, yes, I understand that." "Good," said the coach. "Now go over there and explain it to your parents." I can kind of understand that story because my mom was a very vocal Little League mom. Yes. But you know, this morning, the coach could have easily said, "Good. Now go over and explain that to Jesus' disciples." For the disciples in our reading from the Gospel of Mark this morning, they're arguing. They're arguing about who is right and deserving. Probably like Little League parents are arguing with umpires or calls on the field. For the disciples, they just knew Jesus was going to choose one of them for being better than the rest. And each is given their reason for being better than the other. Well, let's see what happens. As I invite you to open a Bible to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. We're going to begin with verses 33 and 34. They, Jesus' disciples, came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, Jesus asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way, they had argued about who was the greatest. Jesus was not afraid to ask questions. The disciples becoming quiet indicated they were ashamed. Ashamed to admit they were talking about their own selfish advancement, their own selfish place among the rest of the disciples, and who will be raised up to the highest in the kingdom of God. Oh, and who's going to be put at the lowest? They could not resist speculating about their futures and their relative status, about their importance and what was going on. Now, it's natural and it's human to want to get to the top. You know, you never hear of anybody sitting here saying, "Hey, I got to the bottom of Mount Everest." No, you want to get to the top. "You got to the bottom of my profession." No, you want to get to the top. We want to be number one. We want to be the greatest. It's not wrong to be industrious. It is not wrong to be ambitious. Jesus does not condemn the disciples for wanting to be the greatest. No. He wants them to be the greatest. So what Jesus is doing, he's pointing out what really needs to be done to be the greatest. He's going to give them help. He takes the disciples, tells them to gather around, and he essentially says, "I'm going to tell you what it takes to be great. And he continues on with something like this. What needs to be done is not put yourself above everyone else, such as you are doing there on the road. Well, what needs to be done? It's right here in verse 35. For sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. Jesus is sharing with them and with us that greatness in life is determined by servanthood. To be a servant is to have an attitude of life where you freely attend to the needs of others without expecting or without demanding anything in return. That's being a servant. It's a lot like a gentleman named Arnold Billy. Arnold Billy is a rural mail carrier. I'll get that out. A rural mail carrier in New Jersey. And for the last quarter century, his daily route has taken him 63 miles through two counties and five municipalities. Mr. Billy not only delivers mail, he brings personal service. Anything you can get at the post office, you can get from Mr. Billy. Stamps, money orders, pickup service. All the customer has to do is leave the flag up on the mailbox. There's one elderly woman. She has trouble starting her lawnmower. So when she wants to use it, she leaves it by her mailbox, and Mr. Billy starts it up when he arrives. Wouldn't you call that personal service? Wouldn't you call that being a servant? Not expecting or demanding anything in return? To be great in your life, you are to approach life doing good deeds. To be great in your life, you are to approach life with acts of kindness. Who is someone you know who's like Mr. Billy? They give of themselves without demanding or expecting anything in return. They freely give of themselves. They're not doing it in order to lift themselves up. They do it because they're lifting you up. Who's been like that in your life? Now I ask you this question. Would people say the same thing about you in your actions? In why you do things? Do you do things in order because you're trying to push everybody else down and lift yourself up? Or are you lifting up others? Because you're a Christian. You're not doing it in a, oh, look, no, go ahead and be first, because I can be last then, purposely doing it to see what you can get for your reward. No, it's just a natural part of being a Christian, of being a follower of Jesus. Your actions are to be like, well, to be like as Jesus shares in verses 36 through 37. They're to be like a little child. Not childish, but childlike. For Jesus took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Jesus' actions here clarify what words he shared with us in verse 35. Now, if you remember from last week's sermon, or if you haven't listened to it or saw it yet or missed it, I mentioned how Jesus spoke Aramaic. And last week we dealt with how you have to hate your mother and father and that. But Jesus uses the exact same Aramaic word for hate. The Aramaic word is love a great deal less. So you continue loving. I know I've heard from people throughout the week about that. Well, we have the Aramaic language coming in again for our scripture today. For in Aramaic, the word servant and child are the same word. For us, they're different, but they're not in the way Jesus uses it here in Aramaic. Jesus takes a child from the household he is staying in. And he takes this child in his arms. Now, something you need to remember as well, not just that servant and child mean the same thing, it's the same word. It's how children were looked at in Jesus' day. You know, today you take a little child and it's, oh, and how nice, and we sit here and we raise up and see how precious children are. In Jesus' day, children are not just not supposed to be heard from. They're just not to be seen. No, children, well, let's put it this way. They are kept out of the room. So inviting a child to come into the room with them. Children were supposed to be socially invisible. Jesus here is in a social setting, and he brings a child. This is not what's normally done. Yet Jesus says that this child stands in for whom? Stands in for him. Jesus gives here the first and best ever children's sermon. For Jesus teaches that we must receive the kingdom of God like a child, which means we are to be open to how God is active in our lives. We are to be genuine. Be who God created you to be. That is what makes you great. So it doesn't take you doing all this stuff. Oh, I wish I could do this. It's being who God created you to be. For a child comes to a trusted adult, and the child doesn't care how much that adult's net worth is. A child does not care what great achievement the adult has. Instead, the child comes simply trusting that he or she will be received by that adult, trusting that he or she will be loved. If power and or position drive you, then you do not belong to Christ. That's why Jesus is straightening out the disciples. That's not being a Christian. Nope. It's when you have a servant attitude. Then you are identified with Christ and you will enter the kingdom of God. That's how you become great. You're to approach life looking for ways, being open to ways, those ways God is presenting to you to serve others. I'll give you an example. Calvin Miller. He walked through Children's Hospital in Omaha a while ago. And he saw a little baby boy there, below 2 years of age. The boy had tubes running in and out of his body, clearly very, very sick. Calvin Miller writes, "I asked the nurse about him, and she said, 'I want to thank you for asking about him. He will die before he's 2 years old. But the worst part is, his mother died in childbirth, and his father is in the penitentiary. Nobody comes. Nobody asks about him much. And he lays there. You're one of the first to even ask about him.'" Calvin writes, "I walked out of the hospital that day thanking God that my two children are well and that it wasn't my baby. Then it seemed like out of the very atmosphere around me, God said, 'Yeah, that is your baby.'" You see, if you're a servant of Christ, all the world you see, all the world you touch, all of the world in which you are a part of is yours. You can't brush off someone because they happen just to walk by or you don't know them. If you are a servant, the world you see and the world you touch is yours to impact. So how are you impacting your world? How will you impact the world today, this week? Because do you want to be great? We all do, don't we? The disciples were arguing about it. And Jesus is saying, no, be great. But be great in the right way. Be great by being last. Be great in serving. And not just to babies, but to children, to youth, and adults who are in your impact zone. That area in which you live, in which you go. Last week, when did God call you a servant? Whom did you serve last week? You know, as you sit back and think about it, we kind of just, that was last week, we get on with the next week. So I'm going to put it this week. This week, God will give you an opportunity to touch those around your world. An opportunity to be great. Giving you the opportunity to be in last place. To serve. Be open for those opportunities. Let us bow our heads for a time of prayer. God of greatness, you have given to each one of us the gifts and abilities to serve others. Yet, when things are not going the way we want them, let's face it, we get upset. We want you to solve our problems, when in reality, we are part of the problem, because we're focused on what we want instead of what you want from us. So I invite you to lift up a silent prayer to God for a situation you are experiencing, and pray for you to be open to what God's will is in that situation. In being last, in being a servant, it is to help lift up others in need. So I invite you to be a servant in your prayers. And for now, to pray not for yourself, but to pray for one or two others in need of God's guidance in their life. And Lord, in addition to those we've lifted up silently, we pray for those who've experienced the death of a loved one, how we can maybe help serve them and be there for them. We pray for those needing your healing power, whether it be physically with COVID or recuperating, with chronic conditions or upcoming procedures. You have been able to help serve others by giving those the gifts to help. But also, we pray for those who mentally, emotionally, or spiritually need help, and that through gifts we have and others have, your will may be done. And Lord, we pray for all who are facing trials and tribulations in their life, because part of being a Christian and finding out how God is active isn't that those trials came, that those temptations went through. It's that you are there to help in the midst of that, putting ourselves last in order to lift up others, instead of tearing others down in order to lift ourselves up. God has blessed you in many ways. And to be great in the kingdom of God is to use those gifts God has blessed you with to be a servant in the living of your life. So I invite you to a prayer, to lift up a prayer, to pray a prayer of thanks. Thanks for how you've been blessed by God with certain gift or gifts in which you can be a servant for others. Lord, if we're not sure of what those gifts or gifts are, let us ask a trusted loved one. They will be open and honest with us. For just as you have gifts to serve, others have served you when you have been in need, like a child. So I invite you to pray a prayer of thanks. Thanks for how God has cared for you through someone else who has been a servant to you. Thank you for those who have touched our lives and shown us you, God, through their life, through their gifts. For when we look at being great in the world, that's a different way of being great than what Jesus is talking about. And by having Jesus as a part of our life, we're reminded daily that we can be great in your kingdom. So I invite you to lift up a silent prayer for Jesus to keep reminding you. Keep reminding you to be last. It's okay to be a servant of God. For how God has intended you to live your life and to be open to the world that is around you. All these prayers we lift up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples and us to pray and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.